storm draw you near. May the storm drive out fear. May the storm build my trust.
Welcome to the Adventist Music Podcast, where we share the stories of Seventh-day Adventist musicians in under 30 minutes. I'm your host, Khan Elmers. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode. Let's get right into it. In today's episode, we'll explore the story behind May the Storm, a track written by Darby and Andrew Schultz. So don't go anywhere. A few things before we start, please rate and review, share it with a friend. That will help us to spread these amazing stories to those who need it the most. This podcast was brought to you by Blue Vineyard. They currently have a host of services for the Adventist digital ecosystem. I'm a part of their group and we're producing podcasts for the Adventist Church. I'd really appreciate it if you would go and check out the website to see some of the services that they offer for Adventist ministries. Thank you so much. Now on for today's episode with Andrew and Darby. Can you guys share with us a bit about who you are and some of your like hobbies apart from music?
Hi, first of all, thanks so much for having us. We really appreciate it. Andrew and I are a music ministry based out of South Carolina, which is in the southeastern part of the United States. And when we're not creating music, although music is pretty much our life, but when we're not making music, we love reading and we love traveling and trying new types of food.
Oh, wonderful. You should come to Malaysia. I think you guys would love it here. It's all of that.
We'd love to. That sounds great.
Yeah. I understand that you guys have a lot of background in music as well. But before we jump into talking about your music, maybe Andrew, could you share with us a bit about your hobbies and what you like to get up to?
Good question. Darby and I are very common. We're kindred spirits in this regard. When it comes to my own specific hobbies, I do enjoy myself a good book. You know, life can be stressful. So it's nice sitting down and relaxing, feeling grounded, opening up a good book to nice and read and enjoy some time. I also enjoy myself some good food. We talk about traveling quite a bit, and the ministry itself has had its wonderful travel tales and just going around and just, of course, worshiping with a different group of believers is wonderful, but enjoying the different types of food they have is also kind of interesting as well. There's more than one way to make a haystack. So it's just kind of cool how all that works out. But yeah, traveling, eating. I do like cooking. Is this my way of detoxing? So, but we're very similar when it comes to our hobbies and interests.
That's awesome. My dad's a chef too. So I grew up cooking food. And when I was a bachelor, I used to cook for myself all the time as well. So now married, I love to cook. I still love to cook too. So it's really nice to get to know you guys a bit more. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Where can people listen to your music?
People can listen to our music on any streaming service under our ministry name, which is A Better Covenant. They can also go to our website, which is abettercovenantband.com, and they can order CDs and follow streaming links there as well.
So all the standard links, I will also drop a link in the description below as well, so you can follow on there to check out the music on Spotify. Can you guys share with us about your background? Because I understand that you have both quite a lot of experience when it comes to music. Can you run us through like a bit about like your early experience and studying music and specifically share like one moment that you felt inspired to be a musician?
So I'm going to go back. So kind of having the story unfold. So what inspired me being a musician started when I was about five. I never had any lessons growing up, but I did have a wonderful, endearing grandmother that loved music. She was a practicing nurse for years, but she played music at a local Lutheran church and enjoyed it. And I remember being a kid and just listening to her, just play hymns, play music on the piano. And I was fascinated by the sounds that she was making on it, and I just wanted to learn. And she saw me being this wide-eyed, bushy-tailed kid wanting to learn how to play the piano. So she looked at me, of course, all loving and all that stuff, and said, yeah, sure, there's room on my bench for one more. There always is. And she sat me down on the piano and just showed me stuff. Just stuff. The first song I've ever learned on piano was You Are My Sunshine. That she kind of taught me a little bit, but I kind of figured out the rest as I was hearing her play it. And I just remember that was the coolest thing ever. And she is a lifelong Christian for sure. And she lives under the impression those that sing pray twice. Like she loved music and felt like music was just a wonderful, you know, expression of one's, of course, inner self in that us being Christians. And it was just because she was convinced music is God's language. And that was truly, truly inspiring that I kept up music throughout school. I was a part of band growing up, and I had an awesome band director, too, that saw some potential in me that I didn't see in myself. Like, man, I'm not that great at this. And Bruce always looked at me and said, nope, you have what it takes. Try. Go for it. Have faith. And I'm glad he did that because I found myself at a wonderful school. And I studied music professionally there. It was a learning curve because I had to learn how to read music because I did everything by ear. But I learned how to read really fast there. It wasn't that far of a leap between the two. And I kept on doing music. I kept on doing music. And I got a couple of degrees in it at the end of the day. And to this day, you know, now we both do music together.
Yeah.
So, which is really, really nice, I think.
I like that part of your ministry, how you guys have kind of collaborated your and to create the music that you've recorded and written itself. How many albums have you recorded so far?
We've recorded 3 albums together, and we're currently working on our 4th. And I absolutely couldn't do what we do without Andrew. He's an amazing collaborator. Our 3 albums are a mixture of hymn covers that people know and love, but also original music as well. And this next one that we're finishing up is going to be all original music. And of course, May This Storm, we wrote together. Andrew wrote the chords and I wrote the words. And that's typically how our collaborations go.
I see. And can you tell us a bit about your background, Darby? When did you start learning music?
So I also watched my family members. My mother is a doctor, but she's also an amateur violinist. And she loves playing in church and community orchestras. And so I watched her playing violin growing up. And when I was about 4, I begged her to start letting me take lessons. And so I started taking violin lessons when I was 4. And of course, she threw me on stage at church, you know, as early as I can remember. But I originally started out very classically trained on the violin. And then, of course, I added voice lessons a few years later when I was about 8 or 9. But I didn't have, I would say, an inspiring experience until I was in high school. And then when I was in high school, we went on a mission trip to the Dominican Republic. And it was my first time leaving the country. And they specifically asked me to go on this mission trip because they wanted me to lead the musical worship at the evening evangelistic series. And so that was my first time sort of leading worship all by myself. Picking the songs, leading them every night. And when that trip was over, it was so inspiring and the people were so grateful and so happy and content and joyful. I thought to myself, you know, I could really see myself doing this professionally. I could see myself continuing to do this. And by the time I finished high school and, you know, went on to college to study music, I couldn't think of doing anything else. There was no other career that really looked appealing to me. But God opened all the right doors in all the right places for me to study music here in South Carolina, which is where, of course, where we met. So I think God definitely had the bigger picture in mind.
Yeah, I'd like to explore that as well. Like when you guys first decided to join yourselves in collaboration to music. Because I understand you actually did that before you got married, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So yeah. We ended up at the same college here in South Carolina. I was studying violin performance, and Andrew was getting his master's in music education. And of course, it started very naturally. We ended up in classes together. We ended up in orchestras together. So we knew who each other were. We were in each other's friend group already, working together, taking classes together, performing together. But it wasn't really until we started dating that we just sort of made the natural transition to, I like working with this person. I really like the music that we make together. And at this point, I was taking a music composition class. And so that was the first time that, you know, I tried my hand at writing Christian music a little bit for the first time. And Andrew was my first accompanist in trying these songs out in front of an audience for the first time.
I understand, Andrew, that you can play quite a lot of different instruments as well. Can you share, like, what you play?
The exhaustive laundry list includes, but it's not limited to, of course, piano and organ. Like, those are the ones that I specialize in the most. Those are the ones that I play the most. But I always joke, anything you can breathe into is what I can play. So, like, I do a lot of low brass stuff. So baritone euphonium, which is basically a baby tuba. The tuba.
Tuba, yeah.
French horn, of course.
Trumpet.
Yeah, trumpet. I forgot to include that one, silly me. Yeah, trumpet, clarinet, flute. I know some oboe, but not happily. I know bassoon. And for fun times, I can play accordion.
Cool.
And a drum set.
Man. Okay. So I can see how that would really like help you guys when it comes to composition, because you have such a wide variety of instruments that you can tap into, really. So how does that reflect the music that you currently have produced? You said that you're releasing an album, your fourth album. Tell us, like, what type of accompaniment that you've put into the album?
So we both feel very strongly that we want our music to be as live as possible. We're not against computerized music per se, but it's just not something that we want to incorporate in our music all the time. And so any instruments, any vocals that you hear on our albums is being played by one of us. It's not being played by MIDI. It's not being played by a computer. All of the piano or organ accompaniment or brass stuff that you hear on our albums is all being played by him. And any vocals and any sort of string background that you hear is all being done by me. And so we really enjoy doing that. It makes for a enjoyable recording experience, and we feel like it makes for a very realistic live performance as well.
And to piggy off of that, it's difficult to replicate the authenticity of real instruments, you know, because real is raw and you kind of get that real sound. So it does feel, in my opinion, more heartfelt because there's more emotion going into all of these various instruments. So it feels real.
Where do you guys record your music?
So our first album, we actually did record in a studio with a producer, and that was a fine experience, but we just sort of felt like the producer didn't quite understand the whole ministry angle, and so he was trying to commercialize it, you know, try to make it ready for radio, and we did have a couple songs play on the radio, which was pretty cool, but then actually the pandemic made it necessary for us to set up a little tiny recording studio here in this very room, actually. We have our keyboard behind us and our laptop and our microphone. And for the most part, that's all we need other than Logic Pro.
Fantastic. Well, I hope that you've been inspired by Andrew and Darby's story so far. Next, we're going to explore Darby and Andrew's song, May the Storm, so please stick around.
May the storm draw you near, may the storm drive out fear, past so I can grow and adjust. I can't see you right now, but I can feel. Yes, you are still on the throne.
Can you guys take us back to a time when you wrote the song and what was going on in your life at the time?
So this song was very much a reflection of the pandemic. And the pandemic was a very scary time for a lot of people. But especially for us, because we had been married for less than a year. We were doing the ministry, obviously, and all of our concerts got canceled. Andrew was also a teacher at the time, and he lost his entire music program at the school as well. So he basically lost his teaching job as well. And we had no clue how we were going to continue paying our bills. And it was really frightening. At this point, we had been in ministry for just under a year already. But, you know, it's really easy to proclaim the gospel and talk about the promises of God when everything is going your way.
That's for sure.
And so all of a sudden, we had to really trust those words that we sang and preached every single week. And so sort of as a reflection of our surroundings and our fear and our hope at the time came this song, May This Storm, because we were certainly going through a pretty big storm, but God provided for us in so many miraculous ways during that time, and it really became a beautiful growing experience in Him. And of course, going through the storms of life is something that we can all relate to. We can draw the closest to Him sometimes during the storms of life. And so that's really what we wanted the message of this song to portray.
What feeling did you put into the song in terms of its arrangement?
Very acoustic, because the message speaks of itself. And I wanted to have a lot of these chords and the melodic features to highlight that, because, you know, the written language, of course, it's its own language, obviously, but music also can be a language in of itself that can service the language when done correct, right? Kind of putting the emphasis where things need to be. The message of this song is notably powerful, right? Because, I mean, Darby was talking about, like, the presence of danger or the presence of tragedy, the presence of a storm equals the absence of God, but we know that's not true. Right? Because God isn't around the storm, right? He's in it, right? He's not around the desert. He's in the desert. He's, like Paul teaches, he's in these things. And I feel like we forget that point. And those words are powerful. And it is easy to get into that mindset. And I wanted to do my best to service those wonderful words, that wonderful message. So it is acoustic. It is raw. It is very atmospheric, ethereal, I guess, you can suppose, like lots of long lines to kind of highlight, to really bring home that point.
Can you run like a few lines of the song, maybe like the chorus or something like that, and just explain the meaning of it?
Yeah, so the verses talk about the various ways that storms can appear in our life, but the chorus is probably my favorite part because it says, "May this storm draw you near, may this storm drive out fear." And of course, we know the more the presence of God is in our lives, the less we have to fear, the more of His perfect peace that He will bring with Him. And so when we trust Him during those storms, we'll find that we have a strange sense of calm, a strange sense of peace, and fear will be driven away. So that's how it starts. May this storm draw you near. May this storm drive out fear. May this storm build my trust so I can grow and adjust. And of course, that was definitely reminiscent of the growing pains that we were going through during the pandemic because we were learning to trust in him all over again in a very extreme situation. But I think my favorite line is the last line of the chorus that says, "May this storm make it known you are still on your throne."
Wow, that's nice. And has that, how has that message been fulfilled in your life recently?
I have a good one for this one because it's extremely recent. It was actually with my dad. Years and years and years ago, I mean, he was always a resolute Christian. Like, he was sure of his faith. He knows the Savior. He knows God is good, right? Last week, my grandmother passed away, his mom. So, of course, that loss is hard. It's very difficult for everyone.
So
Now, in
sorry.
those situations, right, it's easy to put the blame on God, right? If God is so good, then, this would never happen. It is easy to get in that mindset. And he used to be in that mindset for a long time. Like, my whole family used to be like that for a long time. But he requested this song specifically to be playing during a slideshow
At her
at her
memorial this
memorial
weekend.
service. And that says something. Because whenever all this was going on, he never blamed God once. Because he knew in that storm, he was still there. And it's so cool to see that transformation happen because he's at calm. Is it easy? No. Weeping might last through the night, but joy will come in the morning. It's time to mourn. It's okay. And I'm okay with that. We all, it's time for mourn. Time to mourn. But he never blamed God. And he was calm. He was cool. And he was collected, and most importantly, he wasn't losing his faith. In fact, he was clinging to him more. And he needed to hear that song, as I do, as we all do, when these things come, to hold on to him. May this storm make it known that you're still on the throne. It's like that storm becomes someone else's salvation of sorts, and that's including him.
Of course, people always talk about what a blessing this song is to them, but honestly, this is the song that, when we do it at our concerts, is usually the song that I need to hear the most. It's usually the song that I need to be reminded of the message of, and I get such a huge blessing just reliving that time in our life and singing these words week after week. It's such a huge blessing.
Yes, and I'm sure our listeners also can gain a great blessing from the message that's in your song as well as they trust in God in their own storms in their lives. What message is there? What message would you like to leave our audience from the song?
Now, this is one of those things that we kind of were like hitting it pretty hard, like throughout talking about it. And I could just bring my dad in here and be like, listen to this guy. Like that's what he's getting out is what I want everyone to get out. Like when storms emerge in life, it is easy to get overwhelmed. And I had a teacher mention this to me, but I think it's true. It's easy to look around in desperation. In fact, it's really easy to do. The closer we get to Jesus coming again, the more the world is going crazy. I think we all can agree on that.
Definitely.
But it's, we can look around in desperation all we want, but it's most important that we look up for inspiration first. And in these storms of life, they will happen. Just because we're a Christian doesn't make it perfect and no trouble will happen and no storm will ever happen. And sometimes people think that, and I can understand where they're coming from. But Jesus never taught that. It's going to get worse. Those that persecute you persecute me. And when these storms emerge in life, when they inevitably emerge and happen in life, that does not mean that God has abandoned you. It does not mean that. These storms can encourage us. And we should cling closer to him. I mean, when storms came in Bible times, some churches people run away from it. But Jesus says, no, run to me. You know, run to me. Yeah, and when the storms happen, seek him. When these storms happen, it is not the absence of God. Because guess where he is? He is still on the throne in the storm. He is still there. He is pleading for you. And I think that's going to be overall my big gist of the song. Right there. In the storm, he's there.
I hope that you've been inspired by Darby and Andrew's song story. May the Storm has such a powerful message. And I pray that it has been a blessing for you to remember that God is in the storms in our life. He's not absent, but he is very present in the circumstances that we're in. Next, we're going to be talking about supporting Adventist Music Ministries. They're going to highlight some of the insights that they have gained over the years. So stick around. In your ministry, like, what has been the best way that people have supported you, supported your music?
Well, luckily there are plenty of ways to support music ministries such as ours. I mean, there are the obvious ways. You can come to a concert and you can buy a CD and you can talk to us. And those are some of the things that we absolutely love to do. But some of the ways we've been supported have come in the smaller, more behind the scenes ways, especially when we were first starting out and we didn't have a lot of extra income. You know, people were asking us to travel all over the country, get on a plane, drive several hours, and we just didn't have that kind of money to slap down $1,000 for a plane ticket. And so some people supported us behind the scenes by sponsoring our flights. When we arrived at destinations, they let us stay in their guest house or their guest room. Some people have come to concerts with baskets full of food. You know, some of those are just a couple examples of the unexpected ways that we've been supported. And God continues to surprise us every single time. So obviously you can support ministries and musicians financially, but if you're not able to give in that way, then you can listen to our music on Spotify. That's a free way to support us. Or you can just attend a concert and tell the musicians how much their music meant to them and how much it blessed them.
Yeah, I understand that you have done quite a lot of touring and concerts before. You're just mentioning that people will fly you out to their places and you will stay at the guest house and you'll perform at their churches and things like that. Is there any strategies that you've used to kind of like manage those type of, because I talk with a lot of musicians, a lot of them, that side of the ministry, it takes a lot of effort and a lot of investment in to make it work like a well-oiled machine. So is there any systems or any approaches that you use to make that easy for yourselves?
Well, I wouldn't say it's easy. nothing about life and ministry I would say is easy, but everything that we've been able to accomplish and have been doors that have been directly opened by God. I mean, our first year of ministry, I didn't think we would be very busy at all. You know, that first year, it wasn't intended to be full time. It wasn't supposed to be the way we paid our bills. It was just something originally that we wanted to do on the weekends for the Lord. But so those first few gigs we got just from having friends that were pastors, you know, personal contacts. And, you know, you can't beat the benefits of just good old-fashioned networking. But over the years, as those opportunities have gotten bigger, you know, as we've been able to do camp meetings, evangelistic series, 3ABN, you know, those are some of the things that I can't really take credit for, because those were absolutely God opening doors. But I think the number one thing I would say to other musicians that are trying to book their own concerts like we often do is to just not be afraid to be told no, because you're going to be told no a lot. And it's okay. You know, it doesn't mean God has abandoned you. God will still provide for you, and he will still open the doors that he wants you to walk through. And that's certainly what he's done for us.
May I add to that? Yeah. So I love what she said. Like, it's okay to be told no. But for other musicians out there, I was like, just invest the time to reach out. Like, yeah, don't be afraid to say no, but don't be afraid to reach out, period. You know, find some Adventist directory, find someone's email, go ahead and take that leap of faith, because it is that. It's a big old faith exercise, you know, like, what if they say yes? What if they say no? You know, who knows what's going to happen? Only the Lord knows. But you take that leap of faith and you truly put it in God's hands. Never rule out God, you know, because he always has a funny way of more than exceeding your expectations. And sometimes it is okay. Like, you know, there are times of feast and famine that happens. That's okay. But yeah, never, ever rule out God. And if you get told no a lot, that doesn't equate failure at all. Doesn't mean that. God is going to open the door that he needs you to open, and he's going to have you walk through at that specific season of life.
I like how you said that. It's okay. You know, if it's a no, then God has something better in mind. Yeah. For those people who are just starting out in music ministry, what advice would you give them?
I would say, from both of us having gone through music school and having acquired several degrees in the subject, I think we would both agree that it's important to practice your craft, and it's definitely very important to love what you do, practice it, keep trying to improve and get better at it. But there's a big difference between being a good musician, being good at making money doing music, if that makes sense.
That is the hidden gem, that one. I mean, it's the treasure that a lot of musicians want to somehow get into, you know. So
and of course, being in ministry, money isn't our ultimate goal, but over the years, this ministry has become the primary way that God allows us to pay our bills. And I don't think any of that would have happened if I hadn't taken a music business class in graduate school and learned how to build a website, learned how to use Logic Pro, you know, learned all of these different skill sets that I, you know, thought didn't apply to me as a musician. but somehow apply even more in the everyday ventures of life.
And look at that. That investment has paid off. Now you have got almost four albums, right, that you have released because you have invested the time to figure out how that side of the business works.
Exactly.
So is there any, like, resources or anything you'd like to leave our audience in terms of music business? Have you created anything to help with that side of music?
We haven't created anything per se, but I would say if you have the ability and you're a musician who loves making music, find a way to download any music software of your choice, whether that's MuseScore or Logic, and just play around with it. You know, if you don't have the resources to take a music business class, that's okay. A lot of our best sounds and ideas from the album kind of came by accident. And so just find something that you're curious about and start learning and start playing with it, and who knows, you might make something amazing.
And to add to that, speaking of businesses, network and always ask for help. Like, don't be so full of, like, your own self, your own ability, because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's never really our ability. It's God working through us, right? You know, God, in order for God to work, we have to, you know, give him room so that he can work, right? You can't work if you're full of yourself, that kind of thing. But reach out. you know, talk to someone, find other musicians, find other people in your group. Could be musicians that are better than you, could be musicians that are significantly worse than you. It takes a village. And we're all in this together, right? We all want to be one body at the end of the day. Like, we kind of have to think about that a little bit. We're all a part of one body, and we all got to work together. And we can learn all kinds of cool stuff from each other, right? Like, even music by itself, like, the cultural stuff within music is insane in a very beautiful, beautiful way. You know, it's like, oh, I like how they did that. I want to learn more about it. So then you reach out and you talk to them and you see, like, I really like it so much. I'm going to incorporate it in my own play. Well, now you're doing something you've never dreamed about doing, and you would never have known that if you never reached out to that person.
Yeah, it reminds me of something I usually say, which is like, we're going to be able to go much farther together instead of just trying to do it by ourselves. So yeah, thank you so much for sharing that point about networking, because that's what really this podcast is about, because we really want to help musicians get their music out there and to be able to share the music, to be able to get more interest from churches and church members, to be able to share their music out there and to promote the music so it can be effective and so people like yourselves can be self-sustaining. I mean, that's ultimately what we want for musicians. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast. Is there any other questions that you wish that I had asked you?
I can't think of anything from the top of my head.
No, this has been great. Thank you so much.
It's been a lot of fun.
Also, I'm glad that you had a lot of fun. So did I. This was a really nice conversation. And I hope that you have learned a lot about music from Andrew and Darby's story. And make sure to check in again on the next episode of Adventist Music.